Log Talk Radio.
You find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Good evening, all, and welcome in to another edition of Fred Al Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Coming to you here on, folks, it's December. December 1st, and consider for a moment, it was a crazy week, three games on Thanksgiving Day. We'll talk about those games here momentarily. Three games on Thanksgiving Day, quick turnaround week from last week, go into week 12, got those three games on Thanksgiving, and then we immediately go back to, and this is the first time in many, many, many weeks now that we had a full roster of games, 16 games on the agenda this week. No bye weeks. First time, I believe, since week three. And so, December 1st, one would have to say that here we are, we have already turned the corner, and we are now entering into the final quarter of this NFL season for 2015. Hard to believe. 12 weeks down. And still, so many teams. I think I did the stats on this one, something to the effect of still 56% of the teams currently in the NFL with a sub-500 record. So a little bit better than last week, obviously, but wow, that's still, to me, that just seems like an awful lot. But one of those teams, Carolina Panthers, 11-0. And I'll throw the question out there. I have a funny feeling it might turn out to be perhaps maybe even a topic discussion for our Thursday night Fred House Sports Show. I'll throw the question out there. When are the Panthers going to get any respect? Because I got to be honest with you, I don't even give them respect. I mean, look, I give them respect for what they are. They're a nice turnaround year. They've had from what they were last season. Cam Newton doing a fabulous job after, having a really horrifically hobbled season last year. I give the Panthers that. But somehow or another, they just don't feel like an unbeaten team. Well, hey, we'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Like I said, I have a funny feeling that might even be a topic on our Thursday night Fred House Sports Show. We'll get into a little bit of that. Carolina Panthers, unbeaten team. Green Bay Packers, what's the matter with them? They dropped another one this past week. And again, to a rival, the Chicago Bears. Yeah, they lost to the Chicago Bears. Oh, boy. Packers now 7-4. Indianapolis Colts, they're only 4-0 with Matt Hasselbeck under center. Can you imagine this? Yeah, they've won all four of the games that Matt Hasselbeck's been appeared in. And this past weekend, went up against those pesky Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and, well, he just won again. NFC least is now being controlled, at least for the moment, by the Washington Redskins. And, we talked about unbeaten teams. Yeah, New England Patriots are not one of them. They dropped the game on Sunday to the Denver Broncos, surprisingly, with their new backup quarterback taking over that one. A couple of things we'll be getting into this evening. If anybody wants out to jump in with us here, please don't hesitate. Pick up that phone, cell phone or landline, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here on the old telephone. Otherwise, if you are Skype capable and listening on a computer, hey, don't hesitate. Hit that Skype button. It'll put you through to us loud and clear. Leave us a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room if you wish, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I'll be sending out our poll question here shortly for this evening. Joining me, as always, I've got Brandon on the other side. Brandon, how are we doing tonight?
Good. Ready to talk football. Glad we got this off on time.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a little period of time there about an hour ago. We weren't quite sure whether we were going to pull this one off as we were experiencing some power outages here at the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. But looks like everything's under control at the moment. Hopefully no more of those that might interrupt or knock us off the air. We don't want that happening. Listen, if anybody wants to jump in with us, you're might want to do it early and like right now, just in the event it does happen again. Let's start off with those Thanksgiving games for a moment, because a couple of things jumped out at me about the Thanksgiving games, Brandon. We had three games on Thanksgiving. Traditionally you've got the Detroit Lions, and they hosted the Philadelphia Eagles. And, of course, the Eagles were coming in after having a horrendous time against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the week before, where the Buccaneers put 45 points up on the Eagles' defense. Nonetheless, I think a lot of people thought, okay, well, that could be an interesting game. You've got the Carolina Panthers, unbeaten Carolina Panthers, being hosted by the Dallas Cowboys. Some people thought, myself included, thought, hey, this is Cowboys territory. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's in Jerry's house. There's no way that the Cowboys are going to lose. Nonetheless, they lost in a couple of big ways. Not only did they lose the game, but they lose their quarterback for the remainder of the year again. But then finally, you've got the evening nightcap game. You got the Green Bay Packers hosting the Chicago Bears, arch-rival Chicago Bears. Packers at home, they've had a kind of a sketchy sort of a couple of weeks in the past couple. They lose to the Chicago Bears 17-13, and it drops the Packers back to 7-4. Brandon, I don't know what you think, but I got to say this. I kind of talked a little bit about it on my Frat House Saturday program. I kind of mentioned the Thanksgiving games. I said, think about this one for a moment. Two blowouts and an upset. I mean, two blowouts. The Lions blew out the Eagles 45-14. And it wasn't much better in Dallas, where the Panthers, rolled all over the Cowboys 33-14. Two blowouts and an upset with the Packers losing at home. Not exactly great Thanksgiving football matchups there. They looked good on paper going in. They looked good on paper.
They didn't turn out.
Yeah.
Especially that Bears-Packers game. I think everybody was kind of, it was Brett Favre night at, Lambeau, and everybody was kind of expecting Green Bay to kind of fix a little bit of their season lull they're in at the moment. Well, it didn't really work out too well for them. They ended up, dropping a game they really should have won. Eddie Lacy's, all of a sudden waking up, and yet they still lose. It's kind of hard to put your finger on what's wrong with that team at this moment.
Yep.
I mean, the other two, it's pretty clear. I mean, the Cowboys are, they're just nothing without Romo. And if he, I actually didn't see that he was actually gone for the year. The last I read, I thought they were still evaluating. I didn't hear an official that he's done for the year, but I guess there's really no point in him coming back unless they actually have a chance at making the playoffs, which at this point it's kind of slim and none, I would imagine. As far as the Eagles go, they're just a disaster. So, you know, and Detroit always seems to play good on Thanksgiving. I think I mentioned that on the Frat House Sports Show last week on Thursday, and they lived up to that reputation. They seem to really be liking this Cooter Bob's offense or whatever his name is. all of a sudden, they've seemingly woke up. They're on a bit of a win streak. I mean, they've won three in a row. That's pretty good for a team that's sitting at 4-7.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 2 4-7 teams after that. One's clearly on the rise, and the other's clearly going down.
Yep.
You know, the Eagles are 4-7 on a three-game losing streak, where the Lions are 4-7 on a three-game winning streak. It just seems to, not make a whole lot of sense there, especially that the whole NFC East is upside down from what everybody thought it was going to be, literally. I mean, the Redskins are on top and Dallas is in the basement. That's kind of what everybody expected, the reverse of that, at the beginning of the year.
Yep. Upside down, and for God's sake, I mean, you got to think that it's, there's 5 games remaining in the season at this point. And mm-hmm. I fully expect the NFC East to change leads 5 more times. You know, that's how this East, I think almost every team, has had a little taste of first place in the NFC East so far this season. At one point or another.
Yeah, Dallas had it early, yeah.
Yeah, maybe with the exception of the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe the Eagles have not.
I think the Eagles were even tied for it with the Giants at one point a couple weeks back.
I'm trying to remember when, because the best record they would have had would have been 3-3. But anyhow, that's just kind of the way that is going over there. And as far as Romo goes, yeah, you're right. Romo not yet, according to ESPN. Romo not yet on injured reserve. Cowboys are still leaving that door a little bit open at this point. So I remember reading
a comment, something to the effect of, the only way Romo will see the field again is if they somehow manage to get themselves in a position to, you know, win the East and make the playoffs. In other words, they're not going to put him back out there in any kind of harm's way, you know, for no reason. You know what I mean? Like they need to have they need to find a way to win a game or two and have the Redskins and Giants and Eagles keep losing.
Well,
that's pretty much
the
way I think we see him.
For God's sake, though, I mean, there's 5 games remaining, and this is how bad this division is. There are only 2 wins separating the last team in the division from the first place team in the division. There's only 2 teams.
Without a doubt. It's horrible. The division's terrible.
I mean, you know, people keep talking about, well, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are still in it. Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, technically, if you want to get technical about it, yeah, that's right. But I'm going to be honest with you. As an Eagles fan, and as many years as I've been an Eagles fan, I mean, 4 decades now, I wouldn't want the Eagles winning the division. All right. I'll take that back. Only if they won the next 5 games outright. And that would put them at 9-7. And at 9-7, to me, that's respectable. You know how I am about...
Yeah, you don't like losing teams.
I hate losing teams making the playoffs. I think it's grotesque. And that's one of the things that I am so sorely opposed to by expanding, you know, the playoff formula to the extent where we're going to add wild card games or wild card teams. I don't want it.
Well,
because you know
how about this?
I do, there's going to be more and more and more of a possibility, particularly as this league continues on its pace of parity and mediocrity like it is. You know that it's going to continue to go this way that teams are going to continue to make the playoffs with a 500 record or less. Go ahead.
I don't think the wild card edition will do that. The only time we're seeing this is when we have a really bad division. You know, we've seen, well, even last year, there was like 2-10-6 teams that didn't make the playoffs. I mean, the year before that, I think the Cardinals were in the same boat. They were 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. Those are the kind of teams that are going to make that extra wild card, not a bad division team. There's always going to be, you know, another 10-6, 9-7 team out there that, mm-hmm. that can make it. The problem we run into is when you have like the NFC East, and we had the NFC South last year. The AFC South ain't much better. They're pretty much in the same boat, although the top two teams are actually, you know, a game over 500 now. So I guess it's looking a little more respectable. Here's a suggestion. You know how everybody says, and I don't think the NFL will ever do it. I don't think they're ever going to get rid of the automatic playoff berth for winning the division. But I think they should put a stipulation on it where you need to have at least a 500 or better record. You need to be at least 8-8 to make the playoffs from your division win. You win the division with 7-9, you're out and the next wild card team's in. That's the way they should do it. That would make you happy anyway.
Yeah, it would. However...
They won't.
Yeah, because...
I don't see it happening.
I mean, you know, if you recall, I brought this question up. I forget if it was on this program or on our flagship program on our Frat House Sports Show. And I remember posing it, you know, directly to you. It would have been either last week or perhaps maybe the week before, where I said, you know, what if the NFL moved to, you know, that Adam Silver type of formula for the playoffs, where, all right, forget the divisions. We're just going to look at the conferences. We're going to rank everybody in the conference. And you, I think aptly came back and said, well, you know, it's not good for the NFL. It's not good for the conference, or it's not good for the division rivalries. You know, the NFL is so unique in their ability to keep that rivalry thing, you know, going and alive for as long as they have. I mean, my God, you know, the Eagles Cowboys rivalry is one that is 40 years old. So, by doing what you're suggesting, while it's not exactly that, it could take that on, couldn't it? Because look, let's just say for a moment that you get to a point where mathematically, you get to a point late in the season where mathematically no team, it becomes evident that no team in a division could end up with the requirement that the NFL would want, which would be minimally a 500 record. Well, then it makes all those end of season rivalry games completely meaningless, doesn't it?
Yeah. I agree. I just threw it out there because it was a thought I had the other day, and knowing how you feel about losing record teams making the playoffs, that would be a sort of a compromise position. I don't think the NFL would even do that, to be honest with you. The owners seem pretty steadfast on their formula. You know, they like the division winner meaning something. And, as we talked about with the rivals, I think the rivalries would lose some of their appeal, you know, without that. I mean, that, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes some of these rivalries in the division, especially when you have a division. You know, let's just say, for example, right now, the NFC North, you got the Vikings at 8-3, the Packers at 7-4, and Chicago out of nowhere is at 5-6.
Yep.
I mean, realistically, you know, there could, you know, another win or two for Chicago, and, you know, depending how things fall, that could be, you know, a three-way race.
And it's funny because we've had different, I want to say spokesmen, you know, fans
Rich,
and spokesmen,
Richard
I guess.
From New York.
Yeah, Richard and of course, JT out there in Chicago, we had on earlier on in the season, JT Thomas. And, you know, JT was very, very down on the Bears. It seems to me that there might be a lot of Bears fans out there right now that might be saying, hey, I don't know if I like this. Because, you know, really, when it comes right down to it, if this team truly is rebuilding, then it might not be a bad thing for them to get a slightly higher situation in the draft Not of course that I would be proposing anybody tank, because I would propose that. But I mean, I'm just saying, but you're absolutely right. I mean, Chicago is only three games out of first place in the NFC North division. Go ahead.
I'll give you another rule or another train of thought for that. If Chicago's going to tank, they should do it next year, because they're still stuck with Cutler one more year. So they should probably make the best of what they can this year, you know, keep the fan base engaged. And then, you know, if you're going to, you know, have a quote-unquote tank year, next year is the year to do it, not this year. Because, you know, this year, the way the NFL is, especially the NFC, they get themselves to 500 this week, and now they're in the playoff picture from the wild card area. Green Bay, you know, they're kind of shaky in their spot right now. The rest of the NFC East isn't giving you a wild card. We already know that.
Yep.
It shouldn't even give us a main one. The NFC South, the second best team's 6-5, and the same for the West.
Right. You may not get a wild card team out of the West either. You're right.
Right. So you know, if the Bears win one more, they're in that talk. You know, so, you know, I'm not crowning them anything. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, for a team that was looking pretty pathetic earlier this year, they're putting together, you know, something. Let's put it this way.
Just another real quick observation on the NFC East. And then let me bring up another wild situation. Team that over in the AFC, but one other real quick situation. You take a look at the NFC East, and you want to talk about how pathetic they are, you know, with the records and what have you. Forget, don't even bother looking at win loss columns or any of the others. You know, the percentage. Don't look at that. Just look at net points. Net points. Look at the column that reads net points. The Washington Redskins lead the division with a 5-6 record. Net points -26. Philadelphia Eagles are -31. Dallas Cowboys -57. The only one on the plus side are the New York Giants at a +14. That's really pathetic. Pathetic. When you consider that net points for a team like the New England Patriots, 135. Cincinnati Bengals, 104. Right? Carolina Panthers, 127. Arizona Cardinals, 126. Really pathetic. How about this one, though? Brandon, we've talked a little bit about him. We haven't spent, in my opinion, maybe we need to spend a little more time taking a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. How about these guys having won 5 in a row? This team at one point was 1-5. They are now 6-5. And they're second place in the AFC West with a Denver Broncos team that, hey, listen, we're going to talk a little bit about the Broncos, but you know something? I don't think there's anybody right now that's saying there's any certainty right now, anything certain about the Denver Broncos. Nothing.
I don't know. I think people are actually jumping on the Brock Osweiler bandwagon, if you ask me. I mean, the stuff I'm reading is there's a lot of people saying that even if Peyton's healthy, he shouldn't be back as their quarterback this year. So, you know, I don't know. They're riding a pretty good high right now. They still have a good defense. Their running game's waking up. And, you know, they just beat one of the best teams in the league, possibly the best team in the AFC, you know. Now, granted, they're a little wounded too, but, you know, there's – every team's dealing with some issues of injury at this point. So, you know, even as a Patriots fan, I'm not using that as an excuse. They'll figure something out. They got to, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
They had that game won for 3 quarters, and then they just kind of fell apart towards the end. So, you know, I don't know if that's the Broncos outplayed them or the Patriots played too conservative. You know, you can probably argue at both sides of the coin, but – you know, I don't know that the Broncos, I think people are still pretty much writing them in as the AFC West winner.
I
don't think that's going to change. I would agree with it. I don't think they're going to lose enough games to, you know, they got a three solid three game lead. So I just don't see them in five, I don't see them losing that. I don't see, even if they lose two games out of five, they're still golden. So I just don't see that. I don't see that changing. That's just my opinion. I think they're just too good a team. I don't even care who the quarterback is. At that
well,
point,
let's just
I mean, their defense and running game.
Take a look at it. This coming week, the Broncos will play. They will go to San Diego and play the Chargers.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, we have watched the Chargers this year. You know, the Chargers remind me, they're kind of like my Miami Dolphins of the West Coast. Because going into the season, I kind of thought Miami was going to have a much better season than they've had. And I really thought San Diego was going to have a much better season out on the West Coast. They are horrible. The San Diego Chargers are terrible. Now, here's the good part of this schedule. The Denver Broncos will play the Chargers this week in San Diego, and then they close the season with the Chargers at home. So they still play the Chargers two more times. So there's two of the five games right there. Two of the five games are against the Chargers. December 13, the Broncos host Oakland Raiders. Yeah, and you know, listen, the Raiders are rebuilding. We talked about them. But I don't know. They're up and down. They're really up and down. December 20th, Broncos go to Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh hosts them. And December 28th, Denver will play host to the Cincinnati Bengals. So two of those games in there, Brandon, we would probably look at two of those games as being question marks, right? The Steelers
and
the Bengals.
The Bengals, and it depends on the Steelers game. It depends on their quarterback, I think. If Roethlisberger, you know, gets healthy and can come back and play. When is that on the schedule, the Pittsburgh game?
The 20th of December. That's 3 weeks yet.
Okay, so he'll probably be okay. Ben is actually in the concussion protocol right now. He has been diagnosed with one. He actually took himself out of the game the other day because he had some symptoms, and he's officially in it. He's been diagnosed. So he actually came out it's just a little side note. He actually came out and had a pretty good statement about it. He says, I'll play through any injury except a brain injury. He says, we've seen Roethlisberger out there hobbling around on some injuries, but
yeah.
He said he's not taking no chances with his brain. So I'll give him some points for that, just on the side. But, those two are the only two games the Broncos do have to worry about.
Whether you like the guy or not, and you know, I kind of have a mixed, you know, personally, I have a kind of a mixed reaction to the guy. Whether you like the guy or not, the guy's a warrior. He really is.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He doesn't always make the best decisions, like off the field. He's had a lot of issues over the years. He's kind of gotten better, though. I guess he's kind of calmed down as he's getting older. But, you know, there's been lots of stories about his partying and such, so I'm trying to be nice about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the dude is a warrior. There's no doubt.
The Kansas City Chiefs, though, really are. I mean, I think it's tremendous to see what they've been able to pull off in these past 5 weeks. I'm just curious. I just want to pull up their schedule and see what the Chiefs have got remaining in the last five games here. Come on here now. Okay. All right. Come on now. Oh boy, Kansas City Chiefs website is running really slow. A lot of people.
No.
Big demand for Kansas City Chiefs. All right. Well, Kansas City Chiefs will have the Raiders twice. They have the Raiders this week. They're going to Oakland. Kansas City Chiefs are going to Oakland this week, and then they have Oakland to close out their season at home. So they've got the Raiders on the 13th. They've got the Chargers. On the 20th, they've got the Ravens at Baltimore. And the 27th, they've got the Browns. Wow. at home. So Kansas City could sweep that. They could win all five of those. My goodness.
They could, but they probably won't.
Probably
they're not going to beat Oakland. I don't think they beat Oakland twice.
Imagine that would give them a 10-game winning streak.
I will say this. Baltimore actually looked pretty good last night with Schaub in there at times.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he still threw his pick six, but take that away. That's not, you know, he went for not playing in almost 2 years is what John Harbaugh said pregame. I don't think he put up that bad of a showing, to be honest. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Matt Schaub, and, you know, he's kind of been a disappointment in the last few years in a couple places in Houston and Oakland, but you know what? He actually didn't look too bad filling in for Flacco after, you know, when you look at it as a whole. I mean, yeah, he did throw a pick six, but, you know, the Ravens game might not be. I mean, I'll tell you what, Kansas City's, you got to give them points for what they're doing. They're certainly not a powerhouse, though. They lost Jamal Charles. You know, they don't really have, you know, a really explosive kind of team. They have a solid defense and an offense that's doing enough to get by at this moment is basically where it comes down to. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to diminish what they're doing. I still don't think they're a serious contender. You know what I mean? I think when they come up against, you know, the Cincinnati or New England in the playoffs, or even Denver, I think they lose pretty bad when it comes right down to it, if they do make the playoffs.
Well,
but that's
just
my opinion, you know.
Yeah, as I pointed out, I mean, if they were, hypothetically, if they were to win the next five games, that would be a 10-game winning streak. And that really, really, as you point out, that would be quite improbable, I think. 10 games, very difficult to win 10 games in a row.
I bet they'll take three or four of those five, and they may make it as a, you know, wild card. And, you know, if they do, hey, more power to them, you know. That's good coaching on Andy Reid out there, and, you know, keep the guys engaged. You know, considering they lost their best player to injury, that's not a bad feat.
Nope, it's
not. You know what I mean? You got to take a lot away from – you can't take a lot away from them. I still just don't think they have – you know, enough horses when it comes right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have enough to make the playoffs, which is cool.
I would agree.
But I don't think they go very far. I think Denver has a better chance of going a lot further than Kansas City does. That's just my opinion. I think the Broncos are a more complete team. And now they're, you know, running more of what the head coach wants to run on the offense, and they're, all of a sudden, the running game seems to, you know, at least C.J. Anderson seems to have woken up all of a sudden over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, they're heading in the right direction considering they're, you know, Peyton Manning's injured. I think Denver's going to be pretty hard-pressed to put Peyton back in. I think if you got Kubiak alone and got his honest opinion, I think he'd rather just run with Osweiler, personally.
I might agree. I might agree that if you got him alone and you asked him, but it's such a tough call to make. I'm going to be honest with you. Because
John Elway did draft Osweiler. Elway was, you know, calling the shots when they drafted Osweiler. So, you know, it's not like it's not his guy waiting in the wings.
Right.
So, you know, you might even have support of management for not putting the 39-year-old hobbled quarterback who can't throw, you know, 15 yards down the field with any kind of, you know, strength anymore back on the field. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Osweiler's not hurting you, which I can't say he is. You know, he's, if anything, he's helping them.
And listen, the guy made his first career start a week ago. This was only his second game this past week. And he's doing fine. He's doing fine. In fact, I think he's doing better than fine. Is he as explosive as what we have seen from Peyton Manning in the past? No, he's not. I don't know if Brock Osweiler is the Denver Broncos' future or not. I would venture a bet to say he's not, but I would agree with you that if you got Gary Kubiak to be honest, he would probably say, you know what, I'd rather see my system take root from this point forward than to delay it until, I don't know, next season. I think that's what you would hear Gary Kubiak say.
I have a question for you moving forward. Why do you not think Osweiler is their future? I think he is. I think he's shown enough that he's at least due, you know, a season or two to give it a shot. I don't think he's shown up as a flop by any stretch of the imagination. You know, he's kind of reminded me of the path Aaron Rodgers took. You know, he's just taking his time waiting behind a, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, and, you know, he may end up being the next Aaron Rodgers, you know, 2 years from now. I don't see that there's nothing Osweiler's games, especially the last two that he started, have shown me that he's not going to be a good quarterback. I think he only gets better. That's just my opinion. Have you seen anything you don't like that you don't think he's going to make it?
I don't, you know, now look, a lot of this might just be, hey, he's got to get comfortable. He's got to get on the same page with the receivers and whatever. His completion percentage is nothing to write home about. You know, that's just my, you know, a lot of overthrows, a lot of overthrown passes.
But he's not throwing interceptions, though. He's not giving the ball up.
Well,
you know,
no.
A lot of times
really,
it's smarter to just throw it out, you know, over everybody's head than eat an interception.
No,
I don't know.
That was a problem. I know, obviously, that's been a big, big problem with Peyton Manning this year because of all his issues. But I don't know. I just, I'm not, I don't, it's just a gut feeling on my part. Just a gut feeling on my part. We'll see. Listen, I'm rooting for him. He's right now, he's my fantasy quarterback, and he may very well have to carry me through the playoffs. So this could be interesting. I might very well be starting a backup quarterback as my playoff quarterback into the end of the fantasy season. So it's just a gut feeling on my part, but. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. All right. If anybody wants to jump in with us, I have gotten messages here that I've been watching the board and I haven't seen any calls come up, but I have gotten messages that a few folks have tried to reach over to us and they think they're connecting, but it's not showing up for me here. I'm not seeing anybody up on the board. So, but if you want to give us a holler, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us. You can leave us a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room right here. You can give me a message there, and I'd be more than happy to bring it to the air, or you can hit me up over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike. All right, the Carolina Panthers played the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, Brandon. 33-14. When you take a look at the box score and you look at Cam Newton's numbers, there was nothing there that's terribly overwhelming. 16 of 27, 183 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 79.7 passer rating. You know, I'm looking this over. I'm trying to figure out how in the world we managed to put 14 points up on the board. Well, hey, how about two? I guess it was what? There were two pick six situations for Carolina, right? Luke Kuechly had a touchdown. Must have been a turnover touchdown. Some of this game I didn't actually see because, you know, we were sitting down to Thanksgiving ourselves. And then Kurt Coleman also. So we had two defensive touchdowns in this game. And then Cam Newton, of course, had a rushing touchdown himself. The Dallas Cowboys lost Tony Romo. All right, so we got that one, and you made the point earlier, and I kind of brought it up as well. It does seem to me that Tony Romo – is the heart and soul of the Dallas Cowboys. If you don't have him, this Dallas Cowboys team isn't going to go anywhere. So Dallas Cowboys are done for the year, probably, more than likely. Carolina Panthers, on the other hand, now are the only unbeaten team remaining now in the NFL. And even there, when you consider for a moment that we're in early December, that's pretty damn amazing, because there have been many, many years we've never had an unbeaten team even this late into the season, not to mention that we had so many. Well, we had two going into week 12. And yet, Carolina just doesn't feel, to many, many people, like an unbeaten team. They're just not getting the respect, are they, Brandon?
No, yes and no. I think they're starting to personally seem to think they are. You know, they are. They look good to me. I like what I see on both sides of the ball this year. They are one injury from Cam away from being in trouble, though. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they lose Cam Newton, they're going to lose a lot, because Cam Newton's having a great season. He may not have the greatest passing numbers, but he's leadership-wise and what he's doing with his legs, he's really helping that team a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I think they're starting to get that league-wide respect. I think it's come slow. I agree with you. But I think it's starting to. I think you're starting to hear people start saying, hey, this team's kind of for real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Thanksgiving Day performance certainly doesn't hurt that when you go into Dallas. And, you know, they did have Romo most of the game, and they were still killing them. It's
and
not like Romo went out, you know, in the first series or anything.
They wouldn't have gotten any static had they lost to the Dallas Cowboys. There might have been some disappointment, you know, from diehard Panthers fans or from others who are sitting there rooting for, oh, you know, I want to see the Panthers. Oh, you know, they're an unbeaten team. You know, but nobody would have blamed them had they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, as I pointed out, for so many different reasons. Number one, it was a short week. Of course, it was a short week for both teams, but it was a short week. And you're going into Dallas on their day, their territory, on their day. I mean, Thanksgiving is traditionally Dallas's Cowboys Day, along with the Detroit Lions. One of the things, though, Brandon and I did this afternoon, just hypothetically again, looking, you know, we're now at that point in the season where you only have five games remaining. You can start to do this sort of stuff. I looked ahead, looking at Carolina's schedule, at New Orleans this week. Then they play host to the Atlanta Falcons, who have been up and down. Then they're going to they go to New York to play the Giants. Then they go back to Atlanta, play Atlanta one more time. So they got the Giants in between Atlanta twice. And then they close up the season against the Buccaneers. 16-0? Could this team possibly go 16-0?
Possibly.
Saints, they've got to be. I haven't looked at the lines yet for this week. I hate pulling the lines up too early in the week. I like looking at those five out Wednesday. If I have to, I'll go look at the line. But I would suspect that despite the fact the Saints are playing at home, I would suspect the Panthers are going to be favored even on the road against the Saints. So they're probably going to be favored here. The Falcons.
Yeah, I'd say they'd be a 3 or 4, maybe a 5 at the outside, because the Saints are not that very, you know, not good, and obviously the Panthers at 11-0. They could go all the way, I suppose. I mean, there's always going to be that one. You watch, they're going to have a tough week coming up. They're going to hit the wrong team at the wrong time, and it could very well be the Saints team. You know, they do have the ability, you know, to pull an upset, but, you know, I don't think anybody's expecting the Saints to be, you know, to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, having played that Thanksgiving game, it's almost as if they get a little mini bye, you know, because they don't have to play again until, I guess it would be Sunday.
Yeah.
I guess it's Sunday, right? Sunday's December 6th. Sunday's the 6th. So, you know, it's almost like having a mini bye there because, you know, you played on Thursday. I'll tell you, if they stumble anywhere, I could see them stumbling on that second game to the Atlanta Falcons, which would be December 27th. I could see them stumbling there.
That's a division game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You got to play. They've got to play the Falcons twice. They'll host Atlanta on the 13th of December, and then immediately 2 weeks later, they got to go on the road to Atlanta and play Atlanta. Going to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. The Giants are so damn fickle at this point. You have no idea. It's almost impossible to predict what the Giants are going to do from 1 week to the next. Almost impossible. So
yeah, I would agree. The Giants are they're too up and down. They're not consistent at all. If anything, you know, in the East, the Redskins right now look, you know, like the eye test. They look like the team to beat. And nobody would have thought that, you know, starting the year. So, you know, the Giants, you never know, though. They could put enough together to pull an upset. That could be another potential stumbling block.
Agreed.
Pretty much, you know, you could make a case that any of their games could be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Falcons are a division team. They got to play them twice. You know, the Saints are a division team, and they're coming up against them. So this is the second time through for the Saints. You know, you never know. You know, any of those teams that we just mentioned could pull the upset for Carolina. I don't think anybody, honestly, after the Patriots did it a few years ago, I don't know that anybody wants to be undefeated. I think the pressure just builds so much that, you know, like when the Super Bowl came for the Patriots that year, you know, the Giants just whooped them, essentially. You know, I think, you know, I don't know that a team really wants all that pressure of being, you know, the next undefeated team all the way through. You know what I mean? You can't go 16-0 and then, you know, then you're in the playoffs. You can't lose at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would almost be a good thing, I think, for Carolina to lose. And I don't mean that, you know, negatively. It just, you know, I think it would take some pressure off.
Excellent point. There is, I mean, when obviously I've never been there, but when you think about it, it's got to be an enormous amount of mental stress. There's got to be some mental stress that's involved in that. To every week go in there and go, oh my gosh, we're undefeated. And as you say, if you go undefeated throughout the entire season, well now, you know, to get to the next level, you got to go three more undefeated. So, you know, you're going to go 19-0. I mean, that's just stupid. Think about it. It's stupid.
Like I said, I think it'd almost be better for the Panthers to lose one of these games,
mm-hmm.
like the Patriots just did, get it out of the way, and then, you know, move on. I guarantee you, Bill Belichick, privately, if you got him on his boat and had a few drinks, he'd tell you, yeah, you know what, losing that game's probably the best thing, because now I can ride there, you know what, all the way through to the, you know, hopefully the end. So I don't think an undefeated team this late in the year, you know, if they lose a game, as long as it doesn't turn into a losing streak, you know, for either any of these teams, like
mm-hmm.
unfortunately it did for Green Bay, you know, I don't see it as a bad thing losing. So if I'm Carolina and I'm a Panther fan, I'd be okay with the loss. Like I'm not like devastated by the Patriots losing to the Broncos last week. I actually think it's kind of funny, because Peyton could never beat Brady, and Osweiler beats him his first time out. Now, granted, come on, there's always other parts of that story, but, you know, I'm just saying. It's kind of, you know, I'm kind of relieved. It's like, okay, now we got the loss out of the way. Now let's figure out who's going to play this week against Philadelphia. And, you know, from there they should start getting people back and getting healthy. It sounds like they're going to get some of their defenders back this week. I don't know about offense, though. think they're still going to be struggling for catcher, pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, in some respects, I guess you're sitting back and going, boy, am I glad it's just Philadelphia we're playing this week.
Yeah.
You know, again, I haven't looked at the line. Oh, actually, I have been told. I heard that the line on the Eagles-Patriots game opened at 13 in favor of the Patriots. And
wow.
At this point right now, it is down to 10. Now, that was because of the announcement about Gronkowski. That's why on that one. Because is Gronk playing?
No. No, he's got a boot. He's
okay,
got a
so
bone bruise. He's definitely missing this week. He's a week to – they're saying he's week to week. I read he's not playing this week. Maybe, you know, after that it depends. It's going to be a – you know, it's going to be one of those pain tolerance things because it's just a bone bruise. It's not like there's any structural damage. So it's not like he's going to make it worse. It's going to be how much pain can he play through. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in 2 weeks, you know.
Right.
If you know, as long as he gets a little, you know – I just don't see how it would be possible to play the first week.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. I mean, Gronk is, you know, he's a special kind of case when it comes to he's had a lot of injuries, but when he's not, he's a beast. You know,
yeah.
We've seen him carry three guys into the end zone.
Yep.
So, you know, he's kind of seen both sides of that coin with him. You know, he broke the same arm twice. He had, you know, the year he lost due to the knee injury. I mean, that was just a bad hit. I mean, you know, whether you want to call it dirty or not, the NFL is kind of leading the players into getting more knee injuries because they want them to hit low. It's like, well, you know, then when they take out somebody's knees, what do you say?
Well, that's,
you know,
this was part of the conversation that we were talking about. Even we were having this conversation right here on this air, on these airwaves a year ago, we were talking about this very problem. And, you know,
and it's still a problem.
You know,
no doubt.
You know, there are many out there that would say, well, okay, that's why this game, this sport is going to be phased out, you know, over generations. Wait and see. This is what people are predicting and projecting. That's what's going to happen. So, we'll you know, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I think the defenders are learning to hit in the middle more because you're not seeing quite as many bad, devastating, you know, over-the-middle knee takeouts. I mean, even the one for Gronk, it didn't look anything deliberate. I mean, the guy was going down and his leg, you know, kind of just carried its momentum into his knee.
Exactly, right.
It didn't look – I didn't think it looked even that bad, the knee. And now knowing what happened, it makes sense. It looked like he took a good, solid shot. But I didn't see the knee bend in any weird way or anything that would – be scary other than possibly maybe breaking his kneecap or something, but you know, it's not even anything that bad. It's just, you know, they call it a bone bruise. He'll be all right. We'll see Gronk back probably in a couple of weeks and, you know, they'll be making a run. I think there's a chance you'll see Amendola back this week. Edelman's definitely not going to be back till
Edelman is out,
you know,
right until the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's
he
everything
had surgery, I've heard. So. Yeah, he had surgery on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's kind of dealing kind of like what Dez Bryant was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back in like 6 weeks. So maybe, you know, it's not out of the question to see Edelman back maybe for the last week or two before the playoffs, at least maybe one game, you know. But
watching,
the Patriots got to figure out who they're throwing the ball to, that's for sure.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, as I pointed out, I mean, I'm sure you're not necessarily, I mean, you're sitting back and, oh, okay, it's against the Eagles. I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, Patriots are really, really short on the offensive side of the ball. Oh, well, I guess the Patriots just won't win by as much. That's kind of where I am with it.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles look that good under Mark Sanchez. Not that they look great under Bradford, but they just don't – something's not right with this team. Mm-hmm. The structure, the makeup, the whole architecture of the offense, it was so much better before he ripped it apart and put new pieces in. I don't know. Clearly, you know, if you think back to the Eagles, you know, especially at draft time, the Eagles were putting themselves in a position to try to get Mariota, and it didn't work. And now we're stuck with, you know, an Eagles team that's probably not the best makeup for anybody. So, you know, you got to live through it, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Chip Kelly's coming out today saying, yeah, I'm committed to this team as long as they'll have me. I'm like, yeah, okay. So what's this? This is a guy who's angling to be fired so he can collect two paychecks at once?
Yep.
Because if he's fired, he can collect from the Eagles and then go to college and make a second check. I don't know. When he's dealing like that, you know, what's Jeff Lurie going to do? I mean, he knows he wants to get fired. You know, does he do it, or does he just live with it for another year or two? I don't know what the answer is here for the Eagles. Unfortunately, nothing looks good. They have no answer at quarterback. You know, the running back situation is a mess. Really, when you look at it, I mean, Sproles is good, and you know, Ryan Matthews was looking okay, but now he's out hurt. You know, I don't think Murray. I think Murray's. They're going to be stuck with that contract for a couple of years for sure.
Yep.
I just don't see it. They have no wide receivers. You know that. I mean, Josh Matthews shows at times like he's okay, and that Huff, the younger guy, he's not doing too bad. But their number one pick's never on the field. Riley Cooper's out there, but they never throw it to him. It's just like there's nothing you can point to this. As an Eagles fan, say, oh, yeah, this looks good for the future.
Because
they really have nothing.
I agree.
It's going to be a few years here.
And even at one point when we were able to point to, say, a defensive side of the ball and say, okay, well, that's looking pretty good. We've got 90 points scored against them in two games. No team in Eagles history has ever allowed that many points in two games, two consecutive games. We've got record-breaking, historical stuff going on right now under Chip Kelly. Great job there, Chip.
I'll give you something else you got to keep your eye on. You know, they traded and got Bradford. He's a free agent at the end of the year, unrestricted unless the Eagles tag him. You got to remember the whole point. One of the whole point that we thought the Eagles were going after Bradford was as a bargaining chip for the Browns who want him. And the Browns are now in a situation where I'm sure they'll welcome Bradford as a free agent because they're done with, they seem to be done with Johnny Manziel. Josh McCown can't stay on the field. He keeps getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give the Browns a shot at him in the open market. The Eagles are going to get nothing out of that trade when it's all said and done. They still have, and they don't have a young guy. I mean, not anybody who has any potential anyway.
No.
I mean, Matt Barkley, you know, he's long gone. Maybe they'll bring Tebow back. There you go.
Can you imagine that
circus?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
If anybody wants to participate in our Twitter poll question of the evening, I sent this one out about 15 minutes ago or so, talking about the Carolina Panthers. Will the Panthers go 16-0 in 2015? If you want to participate in our poll question, go to @FratHouseMike. You can find that right there. @FratHouseMike. You can participate in that. You know, talking about the, you know, just an observation, Brandon, one of the things you're talking about the, you know, how we're, you know, we've got these guys going low on the guys and so many coming up with the leg injuries and what have you. I'm sitting and watching, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't this past week. It was 2 weeks ago. I'm watching, in particular, for some reason or another, it just kind of stuck out to me. It's probably true on many and many other squads, but it really stuck out to me watching the Michigan State game. So I'm watching the Spartans, and I'm watching the offensive line, and there was a rushing play, and the runner, you know, broke through the line and got picked up, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 yards. Offensive linemen are getting up off the ground. You know that every single one of them, Brandon, every single one of them had braces on both their legs. Every single one of them.
Wow.
It's almost as if it's become a standard part of the equipment now. The knee and leg braces. Because there's no way that all of those guys have had, that all those guys have had problems with their legs or knees before. There's no way. They're wearing it now preventatively. So I think it goes to show you how far, I mean, it's like I said, it's become like standard equipment. Like as if, you know, hey, shoulder pads and, oh, don't forget your leg and knee braces. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we've heard in the NFL, you know, a lot of players, some players will do that. The problem is they all say it slows them down. You know, they're not quite as quick when they have the knee braces on. So maybe in college they can afford a little bit of that.
They look bulky as hell.
Yeah, they always have been. They have metal. If it's what I think it is, they have metal going down the side to keep the leg from bending. I can understand. I mean, Carson Palmer, who came off the ACL, you know, he already ditched his. He says he can't play with it. He don't like the way it limits him, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's like the Cardinals lose him, they're really in a bad way. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, crossing their fingers and hoping on that one, I guess. Yeah, so I don't know if you'll ever see it that in the NFL. Maybe at the college level you can afford to give up a little bit of that speed, but, you know, because you're not dealing with quite the same level of caliber of player as you are in the NFL. So,
right.
You know, maybe they can take that, you know, half a second or whatever of side-to-side movement that they lose from wearing the brace to ensure they don't get any injuries. You know, that might not be a bad trade-off at the college level.
Yeah, and the guys that I'm talking about, where I noticed it most predominantly, as I point out, were on the offensive line. And where are the offensive line going? They're going forward a little bit. They might be going backward a little bit. They're going to the right side, left side. They're not exactly running down the field. So
no, I think the side-to-side movement is where the knee brace would affect them the most. You know, I think that's why you don't see the NFL linemen wearing it, because some of the defensive linemen are so quick. I mean, you got J.J. Watt out there, who's just, he's like a bionic man compared to some of these other guys. They can't afford to, you know, give up a half a second getting side to side on a guy like him, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where that's where you might see the difference between the college level and the pro level. I just don't think you're going to see the pros, you know, in a position to, I'm not saying you're not going to see, you know, if a guy's had an injury in the past and he needs the protection, especially on the line, they're going to wear it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't know that you'll ever see them wear it preventatively because of the speed of the game.
Well, it was
just a little different.
Yeah, just an observation, because I'll tell you what, when I saw it, the first thing I thought was exactly as I just pointed out here. My gosh, it's almost become like standard, uniform protection. And, you know, that was the kind of thing you only saw, you know, in the past, you only saw occasionally if there was a guy coming back from, as you point out, coming back from an injury. All right, let's move it around. Let's get over to take a look at these Green Bay Packers. What's going on here, Brandon? You know, there are a lot of people that are saying, now I'm just trying to figure out, what have they lost? They have lost three of their past, is it there's or four of their past five? Is that what it is? They lost two in a row, and then I think they're two in a row now. Yeah. Let me just pull up their...
So it might be four out of their last five, I think, would be the...
Four of their last five, right. I think it's the number, is the number that... And, you know, I've been saying it now for
actually,
weeks.
Actually, you know what I think it is? I think it's they've lost at least three out of the last four, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they had another loss. So, yeah, it's probably... Maybe they lost three, and because they says their current streak is one loss, so they mixed a win in somewhere.
Packers. Okay, now let's see. I got it here. They lost for the first time on November 1st.
Okay.
They lost on November 1st, then they lost on November 9th, or November 8th. So that was their two in a row right there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Do I have that right? No. Packers to – boy, I don't like the way they do this. Yeah. Wait a minute. They lost three in a row. Yeah, they lost three in a row.
Right.
They lost three. All right. So they have lost four of their past five. They lost three in a row. That's what it was. Why am I not remembering that? Because we were actually talking about it right here. They had lost three in a row. They lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Panthers. They lost to the Lions. Then they came back. They beat the Vikings. And then, of course, this past week, they lost to the Chicago Bears. 17-13. Close game. But when we saw it, we saw a good portion. In fact, we saw almost all of this game. Aaron Rodgers, again, I got to bring these numbers up. I mean, you know, second week in a row, I think, or third week, he's putting the ball in the air, but he's only completing about 50% of the time. 22 of 43, 202 yards. So the average was not very high. 4.7 yard average per completion. One touchdown, one interception. Some people are starting to wonder out loud, is there something wrong with this Green Bay team? You pointed it out right at the very top. Excuse me, top of the program. I agree with you. It is very, very difficult to actually sit and say, you know what? There's the problem right there. You can't see it. I don't know what it is. Because they appear to be, it appears that everything is exactly as it has been. Eddie Lacy got going this past week. He had 105 yards. So they did get a ground game going. Pretty good average, too. I mean, Lacy had a 6.2 yard per rush average. I don't get it. I don't understand what the problem is. What do you think might be going on here? And is there any reason? I mean, now what? I mean, they're solidly in second place now, right? Because Minnesota's got that full game up on them. Is there any reason to be, if you're a Packers fan, is there any reason to be really overly concerned here?
Well, yeah, because you can't lose four out of five. I mean, that's just not good going into the playoffs. They need to fix whatever's wrong. The problem is like we pointed out, we just don't see it. Maybe the coaches can on the film. I don't know. I mean, outward appearance to me, you know, clearly Rodgers is missing Jordy Nelson in the passing game. My question on offense is, where did James Starks go all of a sudden? He was named the starter a couple weeks back, and he was lighting it up, and now all of a sudden he's like non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some, you know, screen passes out of the backfield, you know, to Starks might help things. So that Eddie Lacy's a power runner, but I don't see him as the most graceful pass catcher. So I don't know. Like I said, it's real tough. They look good on defense, but yet they still give up a lot of points. It's really tough to say what the problem is with this team.
I know. Now
they need to figure
ago,
it out. I mean, they looked really good against Minnesota, who is a division leader, and then they lay an egg to the Bears. It's just like, you know, I was reading Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily happy with the younger players on the team and their preparation during the week. Maybe that's something they're going to be working on. He said we need to work a little harder during the week, you know, in preparation. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Maybe it's stuff like that we can't see that's the actual issue. We'll see how, you know, I'm curious to watch them moving forward and see how they move.
A couple of weeks ago, you know, I was pointing out, well, here we go again. You know, Rodgers is getting sacked all over the place. In fact, I think he's still in the top five or six quarterbacks in the entire league, number of sacks against him. Yet you can't necessarily blame that or point to that from last week's Chicago game, because Chicago wasn't exactly putting a lot of pressure on him. They only sacked him twice. And so, I mean, that wasn't a big, big deal coming from Chicago. I don't know what to point to here. As you point out, I can't seem to figure it out either. I mean, we could talk about Nelson. You can talk about Nelson all you want. But the bottom line is, the Packers went, what was it, 6-0? They went 6-0 without Nelson to start the season.
Yep. And looked good doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
they beat people pretty easily.
They beat the Seahawks. They beat the Chiefs. They, you know, I was going to say, okay, they beat the Rams. Well, the Rams are playing a little bit better back on week 5. Now, the Packers are going to have to play the Vikings to close the season. That could be very, very interesting. My gosh,
that game could be for the division.
Yep, that game could be really, really. Watch that game get flexed. That game's going to get flexed because right now that's scheduled as a 1 o'clock kickoff.
The last week is there is no game scheduled for the late game. They pick one that'll have playoff implications and. You know, you might be dead on right there what they might be thinking, at least at this point. But to see how the next couple of weeks go, but yeah.
So there's no 8 o'clock game on the last week?
If you look at the last week, the week 17 schedule, there's no 8 o'clock game scheduled. They don't even schedule one. They flex the best game automatically gets flexed. Whatever, any game that has, you know, winning your in kind of potential. That's what they like. They like it. They like something that's going to be a division game that whoever wins, you know, wins the division kind of thing.
I got you. Yep.
So
yep,
that's what they go for. Now, whether it works out or not, they have the last couple of years, they've gotten lucky and had really meaningful games, you know, that last Sunday game.
Yep. Yep.
We'll see if it plays out for them this year, but that's kind of the way they go about, you know, the schedule anyway for that week.
Now, interestingly, the Pack are going to have to play in Detroit this coming week. In fact, hold on a moment here. I'm just checking the schedule. That'll be Thursday night.
Yep.
Thursday night game. I'm looking at the calendar. I'm going, oh, wait a minute. That's this coming Thursday night game. So, interesting right there, Brandon, because that could be a revenge game, but they're going to have to turn the table on Detroit because they're going to have to do it in Detroit. The Lions came to Green Bay and beat Green Bay on November 15th. But
well, think
now,
about this. The Packers looked invincible at Lambeau, and they lost to Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
In 3 weeks, they lost two games at home. The teams that most consider to be pretty bad, mm-hmm. although the Lions are looking better. You can't take away what the Lions have done. Three-game winning streak, and, you know, they're improving under this new – you know, this is one of those rare circumstances where it looks like a coaching change, even at the offensive coordinator level, actually helped. You know? You see market improvement anyway.
You still got to wonder whether Caldwell's going to be there at the end, for the beginning of next season. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they keep what they're doing up and they get to the point where they finish 8-8 or close to it, I think he might have bought himself a year, maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they looked pretty bad the first, I don't know. Well, they were 1-7, so what does that tell you? You know, if they won 3 in a row, they're 4-7 now. They were 1-7.
Yep.
At that point, it wasn't looking real good. Now, all of a sudden, you know, there's a little hope, I guess, in Detroit. I fully expect Green Bay to come out on Thursday and you know, return the favor and beat Detroit at home.
So
I just don't see, you know, Green Bay losing. Not two in a row.
And that's the crazy part of it. You know, all through this little mini kind of losing streak that the Packers have had, I've kind of been sitting back going, oh, now, wait a minute. They're not going to lose another one. No, that's just not going to happen. Oh, and this Packers team's going to come back. You know, and that's kind of been the formula I've taken as well. But boy, oh boy, not being able to diagnose exactly what their problem is, as you and I both point out, if it gets more and more tenuous to just do that. You know, I'm sitting back anymore and I'm going, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine if they were to drop two in one season to the Lions? My goodness.
Oof.
Well, anyhow, they got the Lions this week in Detroit. Then they're going to go to Dallas. They're hosting Dallas. They're hosting Dallas. Then they go to Oakland. They play the Raiders. Then they come back and they go to Arizona to play the Cardinals, and they finish up the season hosting the Vikings. So, interesting schedule there, Brandon. I don't think anybody would say it's necessarily easy. You got the Cardinals, you got the Vikings, and of course, as we just pointed out, you got the Lions in there. You know, the Cowboys and the Raiders, maybe. But interesting schedule there that they've got.
Lots of division games left, too.
Yep.
So,
yep.
That'll be good.
Now, Chicago, and we talked a little bit about them earlier on in the show. Just curious, we saw a blend last week. This is the first time we've seen it, Brandon. Matt Forte came back after, I think it was, what, two weeks, 3 weeks out. He came back in to the lineup, and we did see the carries split. We were kind of thinking that was going to be the case between Forte and Langford. Have you picked up any, is there any official thing out of Chicago? Have you read anything about, are they planning on, is this going to be their approach from this point forward?
Well, I think Langford earned a few touches.
Sure.
By his play in Forte's absence. I think you're going to see Forte be the starter and, you know, the primary back and third downs for sure. You know, you're going to see Langford now. I think Langford has a little better, well, you even made the comment watching the games, you know, they put plays in there that you're not even going to see Forte run. You know, they put in plays specifically for Langford that he's mm-hmm. capable of running, and they were mostly, you know, receiving kind of plays. So I think you might have see, you know, Forte Pryor was an every down back. I think you might see some of his third downs, you know, go the other way to get some touches to Langford and see a little change of pace. I think Forte's a stronger, more power runner. So, you know, Langford looks a little small when you, you know, look at him, but, you know, he certainly was effective.
Yeah, I guess so I guess the objective of, I guess where I was going with the question was, was the strategy from last week, because Forte was just coming back, was to work him in perhaps maybe a little bit slower in the first game, and now we'll kind of revert back? Or do you think that what we saw is what we can expect for the remainder of the season, particularly in light of the conversations that we've had right here about the fact that, well, you know, let's get this one straight, folks. Matt Forte may not be with the Bears next year.
Yeah, you might. You might see, you know, they may more or less use these last two games as an audition to see where he's at, where Langford's at, you know, and, you know, how he holds up, you know, over the course of a couple games. I think you're going to see a mix. I think you'll probably see a maybe 65-35, you know, mix with Forte getting more. But I think they're going to try. I genuinely think they want to get some, you know, make sure they get Langford some touches at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Another good positive sign, I think, as well, that you can take away from last week's Bears win. Alshon Jeffrey had probably one of the better games we've seen from him in, well, quite some time, huh, Brandon? 7 receptions, 90 yards. Didn't have the touchdown, but did have a long of 22. So,
I'm sorry, I'll take that on my fantasy team, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Nice mid-season pickup there for me. I'm very happy that somebody else in our league, you know, needed a receiver on a bye or whatever, and Alshon Jeffrey's injuries caused him to be jettisoned. And, you know, I'm not going to complain about, you know, picking that up after I lost Keenan Allen earlier. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's explosive too.
Yeah, but been hobbled this year with a couple of injuries that have just really kept him out of lineups from being really, really effective. But Well, I don't know. Maybe last week we saw that that might be turning around. So
yeah, maybe he's gotten to the point where he's on the other side of them and he's going to have a solid finish.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm all hoping.
Right. Before I start to think about wrapping things up, let's get into one more. And we kind of talked about it a little bit. Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's been a team. I don't think there's been a team we haven't talked about tonight. Has there? Has there been a team we've even – has there been a team that we haven't even mentioned? I'm just looking through the list. Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me just do this. I'm going to just – I'll say this. Jacksonville Jaguars. There. Now we did it. We talked about every single team. Talked about every single team in the entire NFL. There you go. That Broncos and Patriots game. Broncos go into New England goes into Denver to play the Broncos. And I'm trying to remember here now. Let me just take a look at this. Yeah, New England was nonetheless favored to win that one by about 3 points. I was one of the ones. I if anybody listened to our Frat House Sports Show from last Thursday night, you know that I came out and I said, hey, Denver's going to win this game. It was the only pick that I got right all weekend long. Just a gut feeling based upon where, really more where New England was with some of their banged up offense. That's really where I was going with it, more there than with any kind of any serious confidence that I had in the new Brock Osweiler, Gary Kubiak, Denver Broncos. Not so much, I wouldn't necessarily say I was like, oh my God, I'm really sold on this new Broncos scheme. It was more, I really kind of thought New England might drop one just simply because of the fact they're missing so many personnel. And here you go again, Brandon. I mean, it was a heavy rush game, running game from the Denver Broncos. 113 yards from C.J. Anderson. Another 59 yards from Ronnie Hillman, 179 yards on the ground rushing from the Broncos. This is not something we saw under Peyton Manning. Emmanuel Sanders, he's still the number one receiver over there on the Broncos side, 113 yards on 6 receptions. But we are seeing the ball being moved around more to many more receivers with Osweiler in there. I talked about his completion percentage. Osweiler last week, 23 of 42, 270 yards. 23 of 42, so there you have it. That's about what you're seeing. You're seeing about a 60%, sometimes a little bit less than 60% completion rate. I'd like to see that increased. One touchdown, one interception there. And the defense, I mean, certainly put the pressure on Brady. Brady suffered from 3 sacks. You pointed out you're not terribly upset by the loss. You're okay with it because you'd rather it get out of their system now, I guess, is basically the way you're saying it.
Well, look at them like this. They fought back. They tied the game with no time left, you know, in Denver, in the snow, went to overtime, you know. I'm okay with that loss. It's not like they got their doors blown off. They had a lot of people out hurt on both sides of the ball. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think they made a good showing of themselves, all things considered.
One of the comments that you made on Sunday, watching some of the Sunday games, I'm trying to remember, I believe it was the Bengals game. The Bengals blew out the Rams 31-7. You made the comment at one point saying that you believe that it would very well could be the Bengals and the Patriots for the AFC Championship. Any change in your thinking regarding that with
I still think they're the best two teams. No, I think they're still the best two teams overall. You know, it all depends how things play out and, you know, where they all fall in their seating, but I still think that's the way it'll go. I don't think either one of those teams is in danger of not being, you know, in the playoffs. The only thing you got to be concerned about as a Bengal fan is, Dalton hasn't won a playoff game yet. I mean, he's like 0-6 in the playoffs. That's just, you know, that's just unacceptable. That's got to change if they expect to, you know, do anything. They're not gonna make the AFC title game without winning at least a game. Even if they get a bye, they still have to win the division round. So, you know, it's a tough call, but yeah, I mean, right now, that's the way it looks to me. Is those are the best two teams in the AFC. I mean, Denver's the close third. I'm more convinced in Osweiler than you are. I think he's looking pretty good, and I think he fits, you know, the system they want to run. And, you know, it's not the same team. It's not the same Broncos team as we've seen the last few years with Peyton in there.
Right.
But, you know, with that defense and you get a good running game going and, you know, a pass, you know, a more accurate or at least a quarterback who can make more throws. I mean, look, Osweiler's stats would have been off the hook if Demaryius Thomas could have caught the football last week. I mean, I think they targeted him 10 times and he dropped like 6 of the 10 that he should have caught before he finally caught a ball. You know, if he even has half a game, Osweiler's numbers are pretty impressive.
If Peyton comes back though, if Peyton comes back, and
I don't think they'll let him on the field, dude.
Yeah, but Brandon,
they're going to ride this injury till the end of the year.
Wouldn't there be pressure to put him in, you know, the potential of it being final season and all that, and oh my gosh, their chance to go to a Super Bowl, and you know, you're not going to let Peyton have that opportunity. I mean, all that pressure. You don't think that? I'm not lobbying for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not lobbying for it. Because, frankly, I think the way that Peyton has played, I don't know if he necessarily deserves it. But, God, you got to think there's going to be some noise about that, wouldn't you?
Probably not. And I'll tell you why. The NFL has a way of having their team doctors, you know, make diagnoses that they want. And I think they're going to just ride this injury. You know, they're saying... They're saying Peyton's not even going to get the boot off for another week. And then he has at least, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of rehab to see where he's at. That puts him at the end of the year, if you do the math. They might have one game left. And at that point, they could just say, hey, we don't feel he's 100% healthy. You know, we're riding Osweiler. They may make him active, may make him, you know, the backup, and he ain't going to like it. I think if Peyton Manning dresses for the game and isn't playing, he's not going to be a happy Peyton. We know how he is. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out.
You got it.
I mean, you can't have a starting quarterback who's hobbled out there, not in the playoffs.
Well, I might agree with you. And like I said, I'm not lobbying for it. Don't get me wrong. But man alive, you got to think that, I don't know. Well, we'll see how it plays
out. I think this just fuels the talk that he's going to play at least one more year somewhere.
I agree with you.
I don't think he wants to go out this way.
And we've already...
We've already talked that around.
We're already hearing it publicly, too. We might get into a little bit of that on our Thursday night show. I might get into a little bit of that.
Well, I think the least likely place for him to be next year is Denver, I'll be honest with you, because...
So do I.
Denver can't afford it. They have Von Miller coming up on contract. Osweiler's contract's up. You know, they can't afford to pay Peyton Manning $19 million, you know, and keep the rest of these guys, you know, on the team. They got to find a way to, you know, they got to re-sign Osweiler. I don't think they want to tag him because if you tag him, then you're paying him, you know, $20 million. I don't think anybody thinks Osweiler is worth that yet. But, you know, his agent's going to, you know, make the argument, hey, on the open market, we can get X, you know. Got guys like Kate Cutler out there making $15-16 million. You know, I think the Broncos need to do some serious work on their contracts. That's for sure. You don't want to lose a Von Miller.
We have run it right up to time at this point. So got to wrap it up. Make sure you're with us, please, on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. And as I've already alluded to a number of different topics that probably we're going to be getting into, and you never know what kind of guests we might be able to pull off to make sure that we're on that one. Get over to our Facebook page, Frat House Sports, Lee Spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon, and you'll get the notifications about our upcoming programs. But be here on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for our Frat House Sports Show. In the meantime, well, thanks for tuning in this evening, and, well, get out there and, oh, I don't know, go find some sports. I don't know. There's got to be some hockey on tonight, I would think. Maybe a little NBA action?